The Rams can't run the ball, and they don't have a good running back. So in some ways, the Buck one is more puzzling. I would put most of the onus on the offensive line. And Lee will say it again. If you're listening to this, Mr. Leftwich, run right. Run behind Wirfs. Please do it for us.
The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition for 62 years. Bill Curry Ford is family owned. GM Sean Sullivan is a great friend of Ira Kaufman and of Joe Bucks fan, and he will help you personally in your quest for the best possible deal for a truck, a car, used vehicle, whatever it might be. Bill Curry Ford, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Bill Curry Ford, man, they've got a great selection now. Sean's giving you $500 just to order a new vehicle, no deposit. Great inventory on the lot. Check it all out at BillCurryFord.com and ask for that extra Ira Kaufman discount. Bill Curry Ford, we love them. You will too.
Steve, what's the menu? What's the Big Storm menu for breakfast?
November 13th, Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater. We're going to be getting there 9 o'clock, kickoff 9:30. Bucks in Germany against the Seahawks. Big Storm Brewery, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Gorgeous outdoor, fully covered seating, and indoors at the tap room. We got beers. We're going to have a Big Storm Bloody Mary bar, mimosas, breakfast shots. Who doesn't love a good breakfast shot? Might send you back to the bowl, Ira. But the Ira Kaufman, which people will be able to order. That's a breakfast quesadilla with pork, eggs, green onions, peppers, and a 5-cheese blend. How about that?
I'm all over it, and I don't think I'm stopping at one either. The question is, Steve, where's the food going to be better? At Big Storm in Clearwater or in the press box where Lee DeKemper's chowing down in Munich? I like Big Storm in that matchup.
Probably right. Yeah, they don't have a press box in Allianz Stadium.
Oh boy!
No closed press box.
Yeah, you got to wear your coat. It's like the way the Glazers watch the soccer games in Manchester. They're all bundled up.
Can I pre-order a mimosa? A week in advance.
You can $7.95 for the mimosa. I got it right here, Ira. You got a hangover burger. Of course, we'll have breakfast burritos, a breakfast platter, avocado toast with 2 eggs, a little Brady special there, ham and egg cheese sandwich with home fries. Sean Sullivan's going to be out there. We're going to be having a lot of fun. All the info right after the Rams game will be at joebucksfan.com. And it's going to be fun. Big Storm Bloody Mary bar. You know, they have their Blood Brothers Bloody Mary brand, which is fantastic. All the garnishes. Going to be a good time.
This is all Bucks for breakfast. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, let's bring in the big guy, the Ira Kaufman of Ira Kaufmans, the king of Newport Richie. Sage, I know you're a little bit under the weather, but you are, you got some bad mayonnaise in St. Louis. It's not funny, but some bad mayonnaise, maybe some decayed chicken. But how are you feeling? And I know you're going to get after it with your picks and some insight.
We changed planes from Cleveland to St. Louis. It's about 9 o'clock at night. And I made a terrible mistake to go to one of these sandwich places, Lee. They didn't have much left, and they proved it. And I think they gave me a bad sandwich, Lee, so I've been paying for it for 2 days. But that's all right, Lee.
It sounds like you ate some Emo's Pizza, which is total trash. But for some reason, St. Louis people like that. But, horrible pizza.
You know, Lee, on the flight from Cleveland to St. Louis, I told my wife, I said, hey, we'll get some good grub at the airport because St. Louis, you know, they're famous for ribs and KC ribs, St. Louis ribs. Well, Lee, we get off on the first thing I see is, Chipotle, Burger King, and a Wendy's. Oh, I said, where's the ribs? I said, it's got to be a little further down. Well, Lee, it ain't no further down. You got to take your chances in any airport. She said, you promised me ribs. I got a chicken salad sandwich. It was a tough one, Lee. It was a tough one.
Well, Ira, you sound about as downtrodden as Todd Bowles at a news conference or on SiriusXM NFL radio. He sounds like the voice of death, Ira. I don't know what else to say. It's just not a lot of enthusiasm coming out of one buck. Lee and you were there this week, not feeling a lot of enthusiasm. Derek Brooks on your show, Tampa 2 from the Identity Tampa Bay. Brooks, you know, he acknowledged that the effort is a problem. He acknowledged it. That takes a lot for him to acknowledge that effort's an issue. And Brooks also said that he's believes in the Bucks. He's not ready to let go of the rope only because of the leadership. But then he said, maybe that's not a good idea, but I'm doing it anyway. What is going on, Ira? I've never seen such a weird vibe around a team. Everybody feels dejected, from the fans all the way up to the head coach, but you're the head coach. You're not supposed to be like that. And the players seem a little disconnected from, there's not much energy there. Now, I know it's their job to just perform on the field, but something feels really wrong.
You know, Steve, it has some harken back to 2003 a little bit. You know, I covered that team, the defending champs. And Lee, if you remember, they opened in Philadelphia. They opened up the Lincoln Financial, and they beat them 17-0. Lee, at that point, that team looked better than the Super Bowl team. And then, of course, that was the year where 8 weeks into that season, you realize they ain't got it. And I think they ended up 7-9.
Isn't there a parallel between those two?
Steve's right about Todd Bowles. Lee, we all like him. We all want him to succeed. He doesn't sound like he's got any answers. And when you're losing, that calm demeanor with the arms folded, that doesn't earn you any dividends with fans. It just doesn't, Lee. It's fine when things are going well, but they're not going well.
Here's what I can say about Bowles' demeanor and the fan. And I hope people don't misunderstand me. I want to be clear. I'm not criticizing fans at all. But fans want a Bobby Knight. They want a cartoon character on the sidelines. They want the Tasmanian devil. They want a guy jumping up and down, hollering and screaming, running around. They want someone like Arians or someone like Dan Quinn or someone that's really demonstrative. And some of the greatest coaches in NFL history were telephone poles. They had the personality on the sidelines of a mailbox. So me personally, I don't give a damn if a guy's crapping in his hands and throwing at the referees or if he's asleep. I care about the scoreboard. But I get why people see Bowles and his calm demeanor and they say, oh, we can't have this. Well, the vibe, Ira, Wednesday, I was shocked at the pall. I used the word pall. It was like a pall in that locker room. It really reminded me of the day after the final game. Whenever there's a final game of the season, the guys come in for their postseason interview with the coach, and they're, you know, within 45 minutes they're on an airplane going somewhere. That's what that reminded me of. Guys couldn't get out of that locker room quick enough. They couldn't dress quick enough. They couldn't go out the back door quick enough. They wanted nothing to do with the reporters. They were out the door. And that's what that vibe, that atmosphere reminded me of.
Well, I went out Thursday, Lee, and it wasn't any different. Steve, here's a point I want to make about the calm demeanor. Don Shula, you know, was not one for histrionics on the sideline.
Oh, my gosh.
Belichick.
Chuck Knoll, Tom Landry, go on and on. Walsh.
So, Steve, the main point is there's no problem with having a calm demeanor and folding your arms on the sideline. But, Steve, your team can't play like that. Your team can't play like that. They have to show some enthusiasm, some passion, some joy, fly around, camaraderie, congratulate each other. Your team can't play with their arms folded with a calm demeanor. So we got a perfect storm, Steve. We got Tony Dungy with his arms folded with a 3-5 football team. Bad combination, Steve.
I understand what you're saying. What I don't get is this game is the Super Bowl champs. It's the Rams. We heard all last year of, oh, you know, the Bucks are going to have that target on their back and everyone's coming to give them their best and everyone's fired up to play the Bucks because they're the Super Bowl champs and it's harder. Well, here comes the Rams and that vibe isn't there, let alone the fact of how the Bucks lost to the Rams in the playoffs last year. And it's a bit of a revenge kind of game, but it doesn't feel like that at all. It feels like we don't know how to walk, so we're not about to get into a heavyweight prize fight here to take down the champs. I don't understand the energy. This is it. The season is on the line. It was on the line Thursday night, but now it's really on the line. It just feels like everything, all signs are it is that somebody doesn't get it. It's missing. Now, I know Tom Brady is a guy who just believes you grind, you grind, you grind, you tune out the noise, and we'll fix these things. We're only a few plays away, and we'll get it right. And maybe that's a reflection of him that we're seeing across the team, but it's got to turn at some point. And what I think what frustrates some fans, Ira, more than Bowles' demeanor on the sideline is no changes. We're not seeing coaching changes. We're not seeing personnel changes. They got to go with what they got, but I don't know. It just doesn't feel right.
Ira, I got to ask you a question.
All right.
Do you think this team has taken so many body blows that they're on their knee? And what I mean by that is almost week after week, if not month after month, something's happened to this team. Arians quits. Gronkowski allegedly retired. Jensen gets hurt. Julio Jones can't stay healthy. Akeem Hicks, who gets hurt. And it's just, you know, now it's Shaq gets hurt. You think it's just mentally fatiguing that they've taken body blow after body blow after? It's not the same team. Do you think that might be part of it? Now, reason why I'm bringing this up, you brought up the defending Super Bowl champs of 2003, and injuries piled up big time. Allstott, Jarvicious, Lynch, that mattered, and that caught up with them. Do you think it's the same thing with this team? Like I say, all these resignations, these injuries, it just got to them mentally?
Well, Lee, I'm going to say something that, you know, Steve, I hope it doesn't happen, but some Buck fans will turn off this podcast when I say it. They haven't had an inordinate amount of serious injuries. I'm sorry. Those are the facts. Tom Brady has taken every freaking snap. Leonard Fournette hasn't missed anything. Mike Evans missed the game on his own volition. He wasn't hurt. Lavonte David hasn't gone anywhere. Devin White, nowhere. So I'm not going to blame this on little, Sean Bunting. I'm sorry. I'm not. Or Akeem Hicks, who I didn't think was doing that much in the first couple of games. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't buy injuries for 1 second as an excuse. Steve, if they were 6-2 or even 5-3, I think we'd be hearing a lot about last year's Rams game that ended the season.
Yeah.
But Steve, they're on their knees, as Lee puts it. They're on their knees. Their confidence is shattered. It's shattered, even with Tom Brady. You look at Tom Brady on the podium, he doesn't have any answers. He doesn't have any answers. Just, we got to grind. We got to grind. Well, that wears on you after a while. You wonder whether they're listening to the coaching staff at this point. That's a legitimate question.
Are
they listening? Do they have confidence? So, Steve, they got too many problems right now to be gearing up in a revenge game for the Rams. That's the furthest thing in their mind, Lee. They're looking up at the Atlanta Falcons. That's the reality.
But that's part of the problem, Ira, that they're not in their right mentality. Now, Brady spoke Thursday about everything's difficult for them right now. You know, it's just one of those things. Everything's difficult, and until you start to click, then that's just how it is, and you have to just slog your way through it, and so be it, and I get that, but man, I don't know, Ira. I don't know if they're practicing well. Of course, we don't get to watch that. You know, you're not going to get straight answers there necessarily, but something needs to happen here, and it just doesn't feel like it's going to. I don't know if it matters what they say, or like Lee said, it really doesn't matter. But you know, you've been around locker rooms. Is there anything specific that you saw, specific, Ira, that you didn't like?
Well, I'll tell you what I did like. Something that Brady said, and I appreciate it, and I'm glad he said it, Lee, and it needed to be said, which is we're relying too much on the young guys who don't have a lot of experience playing at this level, the speed of the game. They're still learning their positions. Don't blame those guys. Don't blame those guys. I like that message, Lee. It's up to the veterans. It is up to the veterans on this team. Vita Vea, Carlton Davis, you know, Tristan Wirfs, Chuck Mason, Brady, Fournette, Godwin, Evans. Don't rely on Cade Otton. Don't pick on Cade Otton or Luke Getteke or Nick Leverett. You know, they've been thrust into positions that, you know, they probably weren't ready for. Lee, they're doing the best they can. So I like that message from Brady. You want to look at somebody, look at the leaders and veterans on this team. Don't look at the young guys. I thought that was refreshing.
Ira, in this game on Sunday against the Rams, does a win, no matter how it comes, simply snap the Bucs out of this? Is that all they need, is a win here to get it on track? Or do you feel that they need to really put a full game together? Because the reality is the Rams are not a good football team, and the Bucks could win this game and not really play much better than they have been. What is the step the Bucks need to take in your mind? Ira, I'm going to give you an extra 45 seconds or so to think about that. Take your time. I'm going to tell everyone about Florida's Elite Restoration. Go to floridaseliterestoration.com today. Bookmark it, put it in your favorites. So when you have that disaster in your home or business, mold, fire, flood, water damage, storm damage, whatever it might be, you call them first before you call your insurance company to get a free assessment of what's happening in your home. They are experts. They serve the entire Tampa Bay area, but they're family owned and they give you great service, personal service. Owner Josh Martin has 14 years experience as an insurance adjuster. So you're not going to get ripped off. He'll know how to manage it for you if that's what it needs. Mention Ira Kaufman or Joe Bucks Fan when you call before you go forward with anything, and you're going to get $500 back toward your insurance deductible or maybe just cash back on service that you have from Florida's Elite Restoration. Floridaseliterestoration.com. Do not mess around. Florida's Elite Restoration. That's your first phone call.
Steve, I got to look at a bigger picture. One win in and of itself, like the Atlanta game. Well, they won the game. You know, we'll take any win we can get. Lee, they got to sustain it. Well, what good is beating the Rams and then going to Munich and losing by 10 points to the Seahawks, who all of a sudden are not a bad team? Pete Carroll's reminding everybody he can coach, Lee. They got a running back. They got a quarterback that's playing well, two good receivers. They do just enough on defense. Not a bad team, Lee.
Don't they have a couple of rookie tackles starting?
I believe they do. They're right in the thick of the NFC West. The Rams right now, they're chopped liver. They don't have much, Lee. I don't think they do. They got Donald. They got Ramsey. But they don't have Von Miller. They don't have another receiver by Cup. They can't run the ball. Lee, they run it as lousy as the Bucks do. And that's saying a mouthful.
Well, I was going to say the Rams are just about a mirror image of the Bucks. The only exception is that Brady doesn't throw picks. Stafford has a lot of picks.
Exactly right. Stafford's playing worse than Brady. Quite a bit worse. But they got Cooper Kupp. Now, he kills everybody, but he seems to take special delight in killing the Bucks, Lee. They haven't covered him in 2 or 3 years.
Ain't that the truth.
Lee, as Derek Brooks told me when I said, Cup's going to get his catches, right? He goes, yeah, he's going to get his catches. But limit the yards after the catch, the explosive plays. Not so easy, Lee. He's very good after the catch, and the Bucks are not exactly noted for putting guys on the ground, Lee, so... That's my concern. If I'm Todd Bowles, I'm throwing all my chips at Cooper Kupp. I might put three guys on him, Lee, because I ain't scared of nobody else over there. To answer Steve's point, Lee, I don't know how you feel. One win over the Rams on Sunday, I don't think it's enough. You got to string some good performances together.
Oh, I totally agree. It might be a start, but it's not enough. And it's interesting you bring up missed tackling in Cooper Kupp. Mike Edwards told me something on Wednesday. I asked him, I said, why is Kupp so dangerous against you guys? And I said, yeah, I know he gets his yards against everybody else, but he just lights up the Bucks. And I said, why is that? And he said, he's got tremendous body control, which I thought was a very interesting answer. And you know what? Your best receivers, they really do have body control. They can twist and turn and juke in ways that most other guys can't, and they get separation as a result. So it was a very interesting answer.
He's a tremendous route runner, Steve. Tremendous. I don't think there's a better one out there. Amari Cooper's very good, but I think Kupp stands alone. He never drops a ball, and Stafford has total faith in him. So, you know, if he catches 10 balls on Sunday, Steve, none of us are going to be surprised.
Yeah, the body control reminds me of Ira when, you know, they'd call your number at the Publix deli line and you have to get to the front, you know. You got to weave.
Look out, lady. Look out. Come through. Look out, lady.
Get that card away from here.
You got to weave your way to the front and scream, I need 3/4 pound of roast beef. Slice thin. Slice thin, buddy.
And they better give me a sample, too, Steve. Got to have
boar's
a sample.
Head.
Yeah, boar's head.
All right. Now, Sage, I hear you the same way in the Bill Curry Ford customer lounge at the great service department there. You're eating all the free snacks, grabbing the free coffee, talking it up. Next thing you know, you've got some granola bars in your pocket. And, you know, it's you've got a way with that. Seriously, Ira, the Rams, you know, like you said, or I think Lee said.
I think they're averaging less points than the Bucks are, Steve.
Well,
I believe they are.
Their offensive line is dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. That's the difference. Their offensive line is much worse than the Bucs. That's what's making Stafford look a lot worse, and it's just really ugly. But I wanted to ask you for Todd Bowles. You know, he's had struggles against the Rams big time, and we know what happened at the end of the playoffs. Do you think this game, while you think it's not that important in the grand scheme of things, they got to string some wins together, and it's not just beating the Rams. But do you think this game, Todd Bowles figuring out the Rams offense, which has been struggling, and Bowles needing to show that, yeah, I can figure it out like other teams have. Does Bowles need this game to show the Glazers I can shut down a team finally that I've been struggling with? Is this an important game for his future?
I think it is, especially with the injury to Shaq Barrett. Generating a pass rush is becoming more of a challenge, Lee. It wasn't a great pass rush with Barrett. It was okay. But, you know, look, Stafford's having a bad year, Lee, but if he's got time, he can carve you up. Lee.
Oh, yeah.
He can. I mean, the guy won a Super Bowl last year. This is a tough matchup because the Rams have had his number. They score a lot of points traditionally against the Bulls defense in Tampa. But, Lee, the more I look at it, this is a one-man offense. That's number 10. They can't run the ball, Lee, and I'll tell you the difference. The Bucs have a good running back, you would think, in Leonard Fournette, but they can't run the ball. The Rams can't run the ball, and they don't have a good running back. so in some ways, the Buck one is more puzzling. I would put most of the onus on the offensive line, and Lee will say it again. If you're listening to this, Mr. Leftwich, run right. Run behind Wirfs. Please, do it for us.
Sage, Julio Jones, first full practice, I believe, since week one. First full practice. He's been limited in other practices. And he finished the game, last game, actually caught a touchdown where he lowered his head and hammered into the end zone. Todd Bowles was on Sirius saying that finally it looks like maybe Julio can start taking some of those Gronk-type plays that we hoped for when we hired him. And this, I'd have to speculate, this game after the mini bye and with Jones obviously healthy, that could change by the hour. But as we speak, I have to say that this is the most healthy we're probably going to see Godwin, Evans, and Jones together. And Brady's healthy. And Fournette, like you just mentioned. And is there any excuse for this team with those guys at home to not score 24 points? I mean, I think this is like a referendum week. You got three elite receivers available and Tom Brady, and you're at home. And what do we need to see here?
I think that's the hopeful path for Buck Nation. Godwin, almost 100%. Should be 100%, you would think, maybe after the bye week. Here comes Jones. We know what Evans can do, Lee. So let's not, you know, talk about Perryman and Kate Otten. Forget that stuff. These are your guys. Fournette, Evans, Godwin, Jones. Forget Gage for the moment. He hasn't shown us much. These are the guys you're going to go to war with. It starts Sunday against, and I can't believe I'm saying this, Lee, against the defense with Donald and Ramsey, maybe the two best guys in the league at their positions. But, Lee, an average defense. The Rams' defense is not doing anything. Chewed up by the 49ers last week in the second half. Well, why should anybody be scared about the Rams' defense? Steve's right. This is a game where you better not score 16 points. You better score 27 points, or 30 would be even nicer, Lee. You got your guys. You got your weapons. If it doesn't happen, Lee, the question goes beyond talent, and that's even more troubling.
Yeah, it's true. And like I said, I've written this a couple times already. I really, really hope this team is not 3-7 coming back from Munich. That might be the time to slam the door. Now, Football Outsiders, which they have playoff odds every week, they have some kind of formula where they come up with the percentages. They have the Bucks making the playoffs at a coin flip. However, the wild card chances, it's either 6 or 8%, and there's like 40-something percent chance, like 47-46% chance the Bucks will win the division. Still, even though they're down by a game, even though they're 3-5, Football Outsiders predicts them to win the division still.
You know what, Lee? I can go along with that. I think the wild card is very iffy. Very iffy.
Yeah.
Even though the NFC's down, Steve, I know that. Green Bay's no good. The Rams are no good. I understand that. But, Lee, who saw the Giants? Who saw the Giants? And Dallas looks pretty good. And we know Philly's going to make the playoffs. So three teams out of the NFC East, as things stand now. And the NFC West, I mean, you know, you got the Niners. We're rounding into form. They've had a lot of injuries. I'm not counting on the Rams. It's going to be tough on the wild card. I think they got to win the division.
Well,
I give them at least a 50% chance to win this division.
And Seattle's obviously doing really well. So.
And Seattle, that's right.
Sage,
that's
of
right.
course they got to win the division. I mean, they got to win this game. I mean, this could be it. This could be the official end. I mean, the Chargers go to Atlanta on Sunday. And that's not a good matchup for the Chargers, and the Falcons get Cordarrelle Patterson back. The Bucs have got to figure this game out, and they may have even more pressure on them, which I think will be interesting. And I kind of hope Atlanta wins just to maybe that'll light a fire under the Bucs where they see, wow, Atlanta's 5-4, and we got to go out there and kick ass. Everything's on the line. Maybe that's the fire that they'll need. I don't really know, Ira. But man, it's all right there. Wild card, they don't even deserve to be talked about in the wild card. They got to find a way to just win a couple of games and win this division, Sage. Because if they can't get to 5-5, then they're going to be pushing the ball uphill for the rest of the year, and they'll try to win that division on the final week, probably against Atlanta. Sage, on defense, healthy is Sean Murphy Bunting. Carlton Davis looks like they're going to get the official go. They were practicing fully. And how much of a lift do the Bucs get from that?
I thought Davis played very well, maybe the first 2 weeks. I haven't noticed him much since, Lee. I thought, who didn't play well on defense the first 2 weeks? I mean, people were screaming, you know, they're trying to compare this team to the 2002 defense. And you and I were saying, hold on. Lee, even in the Green Bay game, they shut the Packers down in the second half. Defense played pretty well, you know, gave up 14 points. That fourth quarter against Atlanta. You know what that did, Lee? It spurred the Falcons, and it demoralized the Bucs a little bit. It did.
Well, and certainly spurred the Falcons. That's no question about that, yeah.
No question about that. I think they spanked the Niners the week. Lee, I want to talk about Atlanta for a second, just a second. And Lee, I'm not making this up. You know, I went... Steve and I were at the owners' meetings at the Breakers in Palm Beach in March. and, Lee, I made it a point to talk to Arthur Smith. There weren't too many Atlanta writers, not too much media. Orlando Ledbetter was there. That's about it. So, you know, I got to ask my questions. And, Lee, I walked away 10 minutes later, you know, and the first person I see. I told Steve, I said, Arthur Smith's thinking about 2023. This whole organization is thinking about, hey, what quarterback can we get in the draft? This is a throwaway year. We're going 5-12, and it is what it is. And Arthur Smith knew that he had that kind of freedom from Arthur Blank. The expectations were low. And here we are, Lee. They're 4-4, looking down on the Tampa Bay Bucks, as Steve said. Here come the Chargers, talented team, Steve. Not an elite team, making a cross-country trek. Going to be a tough game for the Chargers. So, it's amazing how things can turn. And, of course, Lee, what's the biggest factor in all this optimism in Atlanta? The demise of the Buccaneers. That's the number one factor, the demise of the Bucs. If the Bucs are 6-2, we're not even having this conversation about the Falcons.
You know, that's the NFL. Every year something weird happens. This year it's the Bucs that are sinking, and it's the rise of the Falcons. You know, no one saw either happening.
You're right. Here comes Seattle. Here come the Giants. Here come the Eagles. And on the other side of the ocean, Steve, are the Packers, the Rams, the Bucks. I mean, who wants to be in that group, Steve?
Yeah, I mean, everybody thought that whoever would represent the NFC, it'd be either the Packers, the Bucks, or the Rams. That's everybody right. said that. And now they're looking like three dregs, not favorites.
Sage, before we get to the picks, do you expect anything unique from the Bucs as far as a lineup change on Sunday?
They got to do something. Just a little jolt. Maybe a little jolt. What could it be? You know what it could be, Lee? Rashad White might get more touches.
They've been talking about it.
Words out of my mouth.
I can see it. Maybe Keanu Neal plays more than Mike Edwards. You know, we'll see. I think Neal's been making some plays. He might be able to put a lick on somebody, a legal hit, and get this crowd stoked a little bit, Lee, because the crowd's been half dead. I think they got to do something to jumpstart this team a little bit. They've lost their swagger, Lee, and it looks like they've lost their confidence. I can't believe I'm saying this about a Brady team at midseason, but it is what it is. They're 3-5 for a reason, and there's a lot of reasons for it, Lee. I would think about making a change, even if it's just symbolic.
Rattle some cages a little bit.
I'm not able to snap out of it either with this depression here, this Bucks depression. So I am going to steal a line from Derek Brooks and say I'm still holding on the rope. I'm not letting go of the rope yet because of Brady. And that's really what Derek Brooks said. And he also mentioned the other leadership, but that's really where I am. I'm not ready to say that he's not able to rally the team and fix the offense. We don't know if he already tried, but if he didn't, then this is surely the week. So I'm going to go with the Bucks, mainly because the Rams are so bad. I don't have a reason. Like it feels like they're as bad as the Bucks are. So I'm going to go with the Bucks winning 27-18.
All right, Lee, I'm going to go second because you're going to get to break the tie, Lee. I'm off the Bucks bandwagon, Lee. They're on a three-game tailspin. So am I, Lee. So am I. I picked them 3 weeks in a row. I'm jumping off the Buck train reluctantly with the great Tom Brady. Can't support them anymore. Not that I'm crazy about the Rams. Lee, you know what this reminds me of? Some of these elections across the country that are going to be decided next Tuesday. Two bad candidates. You know, you take the lesser of two evils in most cases. That's what I'm looking at. I think the Rams win. They have a little bit of a hold over the Bucks. They score points against Bowles' defense. I think Stafford will snap out of his season-long funk. Cup's going to do what Cup does. And, you know, Aaron Donald will make a play down the stretch, just like he did in the playoff game. I got the Rams winning, Lee, 23-20. Rams, four-game losing streak for the home team.
Well, history suggests the Bucs are going to lose Sunday. You know, Sean McVay pretty much owns the Bucs. The only time I think he's ever lost to the Bucs put up like 60 points in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So not even Cooper Kupp and all those weapons that the Rams had, they couldn't even overcome a 60-point
game lead. That was a crazy game. Crazy
yeah.
game out there.
Didn't yeah. Sue score a touchdown like third last play of the game? I mean,
yes,
I was
he
there.
Did. Yes,
yeah,
he did.
I was thinking it was Sue, a fumble return. You know, looking at that, looking how Sean McVay has some kind of – he's figured out Todd Bowles' defense. He really has. He's always had success against Todd Bowles' defense. So I think it's going to be another loss for the Bucks. I really don't want – like I've said it before. I'll say it again. I really hope they don't go 3-7 coming back from Munich, but it sure smells like it. Hope I'm dead wrong. But I think the offensive malaise continues. And the Rams win 24-22.
Ira, for the record, you've got a one-game lead on me and Lee, so things will shake up somehow, some way by next week. And Sage, I feel like we're...
It's nothing, not Steve, it's nothing to be proud about.
No.
I'm on a three-game losing streak, Steve.
No, it's just one of those years, Ira. And you know what? I know I'm low energy. I think we all are, but it's a reflection of the team. And it's just hard when things are going wrong in all areas except for your kicker. And, you know, the big signing is Tyler Johnson and Ryan Smith, who we didn't talk about last podcast. But, Ira, do you make anything of those signings? Obviously, they just wanted some familiar bodies to come in and not have to get anybody up to speed. And they were sitting on the street. Ryan Smith's been on the street for a while. Tyler Johnson is good insurance. But what does it say that the whole league didn't want Tyler Johnson? And same thing for Cyril Grayson, who's supposedly healthy now. Nobody wants him either.
I'm disappointed in Tyler Johnson. Lee, I liked the pick at the time. I thought Jason Light might have pulled off a steal. He had a couple of early moments with the team. He didn't take advantage of it, Lee, and they soured on him. Now they got him back. Ryan Smith, he does one thing well, Lee. but he's really good at it, and that's special teams. Very good on the coverage. Lee, you and I don't want to see him covering Cooper Kupp on Sunday. That we don't want to see.
No.
Lee, is he the guy who was shadowing Julio Jones that famous game? I think it
yeah,
was.
Yeah, where Mike Smith claimed he couldn't find any other way to defend Julio Jones, so he put poor Ryan Smith on him, and it was a nightmare, absolute nightmare. You know, we're talking about the mental, the vibe, and the mentality of the Bucs right now. What did Cole Beasley see with the Bucs that chased him away? Now he claimed he wanted to spend more time with his family. In retrospect, I don't buy that for a second. Like, he didn't know he was going to be away from his family when he signed with the Bucs, and he told me, you know, I was standing 2 feet away from him, and I asked him about playing with Brady. He told me how he pestered Brady on Instagram, begging Brady to grease the wheels for the Bucs to sign him. And 2 weeks later, he quits?
Lee, I'll say this.
Did he see with this team that spooked him?
I got a very simple answer, Lee. Get used to it, gentlemen. It's the post-Brady world in terms of luring free agents to Tampa. You know, we're three months away from that. And the Bucs, you know, finish 7-10. We're back where we started in terms of trying to lure big-time free agents to Tampa, unless they go out and get an Aaron Rodgers or something like that, Lamar Jackson, something like that. You never know, because there'll be pressure from ownership to get a name in here. But barring that, we're back in the 2017 days where it's tough to lure a free agent to Tampa, I think.
Thank you, Bill Curry Ford, a Tampa tradition, for presenting all of Ira's work here at JoeBucksFan.com, BillCurryFord.com. Get there today, see all the great specials, learn about the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, BillCurryFord.com. And our thanks to Florida's Elite Restoration. Mark it down, Florida's Elite Restoration. That's who you call first whenever you have that disaster in your home or business, fire, flood, mold, storm damage. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. And Big Storm Beer, that is Florida's best craft beer. And head back to the beginning of the podcast if you missed it. We'll be at Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater next Sunday. And that is for the Germany game for breakfast. Great menu, great time, indoors, outdoors, BigStormBrewery.com. And Sage, we're going to get out of here, Ira. We're going to keep our fingers and toes crossed that the Bucks snap out of this thing. All right, Sage, I'm letting you go. I know you're not feeling great. We are out of here. Everybody catch up. Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Google Play, Podcast Addict, Stitcher, wherever. Right at JoeBucksFan.com. Sage, feel better. Lee's out of here. And go Bucks.